Why not that deep must you see in your everyday life?
Heather Nation there. How far we've come. You are in your face. Here at 3CR with James, that song has special significance because it is part of a wonderful show called Solar Punk that Jonathan Holmes is putting on. Jonathan joins us in the studio along with Alex Dobson, who's also putting on a wonderful show called Pool. Both shows are happening later in March. Alex and Jonathan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Hi, James. Good afternoon. Thanks for having us.
Let's start with you, Jonathan. Tell us about Solar Punk.
Well, I'll go back a step for my queer friends out there. So let's kind of break down the word punk, right? So that word punk comes from like that American vernacular of the 1970s. And it was kind of looking down on some queer people. So, and I do the dance form whacking, if you've heard me before, W-A-A-C-K-I-N-G. And punking is the parent form of whacking. And Victor says, one of the founders, make the music your female dog. I'm not sure if I can swear on air, so I'll say female dog. So there's kind of a power play in that queer culture. How do I reclaim something? And how do I dom top the situation? You know what I mean? So I think that's where the punk comes from. And solar is, for me, I think coming from a very digital age, how do I do something that's anti-AI, or what does that mean? And I think for me, I went from anti-steampunk and it ended up with solar punk. And solar punk is also inspired by the anime movement. If you just put a little solar punk in Google, you can see the anime. It's like got beautiful trees and it's technology working with nature, not harming nature. And I hope to share that in my dance in 35 minutes. Got a lot to talk about in a 35-minute performance, James.
Well, it's happening at the Great Petition, which is a sculptor at Burston Reserve here in Melbourne. Of course, the petition was created by Susan Hewitt and Penelope Lee, and it's got feminist origins. But your show really is a nod to Melbourne's grassroots activism as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh my God, James, should we do a little history lesson?
Let's do
a little history lesson. It was 1891, and the state of Victoria was one of the first places in the world that got women to vote. And these women went around regional Victoria and got people to sign on a piece of fabric. It was, I believe it was muslin. And then they brought all that fabric, sewed it together in Parliament, and unrolled this hundreds of meters of signatures. So that's kind of the origin of the statue. That's called the Monster Petition. And then the statue is called the Great Petition. And for me, who's someone who's a queer, neurodivergent person of color, I really want to make sure feminism sits on two streets. You know what I mean? We're sitting at an intersectional feminism. So I think having our bodies of color and trans bodies occupy the space that honors kind of like the OG feminism and the grassroots they did is something that really is heartening. And I think about how do we take that narrative and bring it forward from a place that isn't violent for us as activists? And that's what solar punk is about. How do we use the sun to soften our bodies, remove fascism from our fascia? That's a very big ask for me as an artist. But I think we do that from relaxing and connecting to our vagus nerve and taking care of our bodies. And I think my work and also Alex's work, Pool, which opens on the 25th,
yes.
Both of our works discuss about as queer bodies, how do we feel well again in a time that isn't letting us feel well?
And what is the answer to that, Alex? How do we feel well again in a time of rising fascism where we don't feel particularly well?
Wow, that's a really big question. I can talk about how I deal with feeling well in the work Pool. There is a sort of, I guess, technology is weaved into the choreography in terms of how I dance it myself. Over the past couple years, have been moving through a dynamic chronic illness. So looking after myself, particularly in these times, is very important. So the choreography, the way that it's structured, has lots of kind of almost like a choose your own adventure for me and the other dancer, so that depending on how we're feeling, the day that we're rehearsing, the day that we're performing, we can look after ourselves and show up to the best of our abilities, I guess.
Wow, tell us a bit more about that spontaneity and that choose your own kind of, you know, dance almost, dance journey.
Yeah, sure. So I guess we use improvisation in a lot of the work, but there are structures around this improvisation that take us through the 45 minutes. And I guess within these structures, there's a lot of freedom to choose where we, how we use our bodies, I guess.
Yeah, and I think we're both graduates of Victorian College of the Arts, and I think we were taught to move a certain way. So I think as queer bodies, we get nervous about what is right or wrong, and how do we have agency while also still structuring a dance? Mm. We may be queer anarchists on the streets, but we may not necessarily be in our choreographic structure. So how do we have agency for our body while still achieving the kind of artistic technique that we want to do? And I wish I could describe Alex's dancing over the phone. It's just sensational. There's a really rich, viscous movement quality.
Thank you, Jennifer.
And that also comes from great teachers we had, like Wendy Smith, who inspired my show for Solar Punk, Skinner Releasing Technique, which really has formed both of our practices in different ways.
So that must be so empowering for you, Alex.
Yeah, I definitely feel like I'm at the start of my journey in terms of, discovering this for myself and also building up a vocabulary about how to talk about it. I think it's something that isn't talked about a lot at all, actually, in particularly dance training and other parts of the arts industry.
So, Jonathan, you are a whacker. That's what the kind of dance that you do is called, which is a wild term. But you must feel like you've kind of got a coming home by actually performing street dance at a sculpture that's all about activism. I mean, that must feel amazing for you to be there and to be working with people on that and to be meeting it at sunset as well. I love that you're actually meeting at sunset for this show. Tell us a bit more about the significance of that.
Well, I think for me, someone correct me if I'm wrong, they can fact check me, but to my knowledge, I am the first street dancer to go for Victorian College of the Arts, University of Melbourne. So when we would improvise, we had a certain like look that we may do. It was infamously known as the Melbourne look in the early 2000s by Jordan Beth Vincent in The Age. I think it was 2008. And to do street dance with the contemporary agency that we were raised with, that's really the homecoming. To do, you know, as the punkers say, I want to create my own rhythm to the world. It's not necessarily the same downbeat, the same K-pop 4-4. There's a syncopatedness in my body. There's a queering of rhythm. And getting to do that to the constant rhythm of the sun, because you may be a control freak, but you can't control the sun. You may be a control freak, but you can't control gravity. So I think getting to be at a statue that kind of looks like it's ribbons, right? They're bronze metal ribbons, and it looks like it should collapse. Like it's something that is kind of almost defies gravity. So there's an interesting thing around the things I can't control and the things I can control. I can't control the sun, but I control how I feel. I can't control how others perceive me, but I can control my affirmations for myself, my own stimming as a neurodivergent person. So I think being in that statue honors I can't control the sun. And that's been the most interesting thing of the rehearsal process, because it's a public space. I've had skateboarders, old ladies, school groups. I almost think the process of rehearsing outside has probably been the most rewarding experience for those anecdotes that you have. And that, to me, is what queer empowerment's about, like showing different ways to have agency. And I think both of our shows had that. And I hope all of you see it. I'm at the Burston Reserve in the city, and Alex is at Dance House at Princess Street in North Carlton.
Love Dance House. Tell us about your dance partner for Pool.
Yeah, sure. So I'm working with a dancer called Madeline Bowman. We've been dancing together for a long time now, 7 years maybe. And yeah, we have this beautiful relationship within the work. I feel like we almost go on a bit of a journey together over the 45 minutes, this sort of like undulating through movement and stillness. I love dancing with Maddie. It's really great.
Jonathan, it must feel pretty amazing and kind of like a homecoming, bringing together punk and queer, because they are so conjoined, really. But, you know, they haven't often been acknowledged as that. But, you know, punk is really, really queer, but it often doesn't get the credit for being so. But you're kind of doing that.
And I think for me, also with the punk, it's the anime. So for me, like, I'm a white passing person, but I have quite like bright hair, and I've always dyed my hair fun colors. Like, I've never been a punk person. I just was racially ambiguous, so I would dye my hair, add lots of tattoos. And as I've gotten older, I go, maybe I am a bit punk. Because punk's about beating a different rhythm to the world, you know? Like, punks are about instigating that, sometimes cacophonously, sometimes softly. But I think that's what being punk is shifting rhythms or shifting tones. And definitely this year is a time to shift the global tone, and I hope both our works can do that.
Alex, tell us why you chose the name Pool.
Sure. Well, I actually, when I described the work Pool to you, just a few minutes before we came on air. I said pool as in a swimming pool, but actually I think of the word pool as the verb, like for something to pool in. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I guess it's hard to describe, but the work has a sort of like liquidity to it. There's a lot of sweat, obviously, as we're dancing, and there's this sort of, I won't say too much, but like sculptural elements, melting ice and water in the space. And so I feel like the word pool is a nice way to sort of describe the movement of like liquids coming together, or a sort of, I don't know, if I feel like it explains a duration or and a really beautiful texture as well.
And the fluidity of you both kind of working together and kind of pooling yourselves together, you know, that collectivism of the word pool.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like there's a lot of soul in the work, and we've pooled a lot of our experiences and pooling our heart into the work.
I know you weren't want to give too many spoilers, but I would love to know, how does it feel to perform near melting ice? Because obviously you can't control it.
Sure. How do I talk about it without saying too much? I guess the melting ice, like I said before, is really about the duration. Over the 45 minutes, the substance changes, and so it almost acts as like a timekeeper for the work. It's away from our bodies, it's on our bodies. This sort of like play of temperature as well, I find really interesting, very visceral, and I love that in live performance work.
So how much melting ice do you actually use in the show?
Oh no, we've opened a Pandora's box, Alex.
Actually unconfirmed. Haven't completed building the set design for it yet.
How exciting.
Yeah, so you'll have to come and see to find out.
Wow, do you worry about it melting too much before the show? That must be, I mean, how do you manage that?
I do worry, actually. I'm dealing with the logistics of that, like, you know, over the last week or so.
But I think that's why we have agency. That's why we have agency over our bodies, to negotiate things that we can't control. And sure. I think that's where Melbourne's signature contemporary performance really thrives, you know, a really experienced body negotiating something that we really can't negotiate with, because the sun ain't going to talk back to me, the ice ain't talking back to me, and how we have that conversation, I think, is really enticing to audiences.
And it's really amazing how you mentioned, you know, skateboarders before and grandmas and all kinds of people, because I just had this sense of what happens if all these unexpected folks show up at the sculpture for Jonathan's show and won't move.
Well, I called it in my grant application conceptual busking, because again, Alex's show is ticketed and my show is free. So kind of the rules that we have are a little bit different. I don't necessarily have to sell something, so I'm getting a bit more wild at the sculpture, as opposed to Alex needs to kind of respect the ticket transaction for audience members and what they're going to see. So I'm curious. I've never done conceptual busking before, but James, if you ask me in 2 weeks, I could give you an answer what conceptual busking is like. But I'm very grateful for Dance House's support that has presented the work, because without their support for ushers and kind of keep the infrastructure, I don't have the wings to fly without them. So I'm so thankful for them.
Yeah, we love Dance House.
Give us the details, starting with you, Alex, for pool.
For pool, our pool is running from the 25th to the 28th of March. So that's the last week of March, Wednesday to Saturday. The show's at 6:30 p.m. every night.
Fantastic. And Jonathan, Solar Punk.
Solar Punk is at sunset, which is 7:45 p.m., aligned with the autumn equinox, March 21st and 22nd, queer astrology. And we'll see you there at Burston Reserve. It's just near the Park Hyatt, and you just get off at the MacArthur Street exit at Parliament Station.
Alex Dobson and Jonathan Holmesy, thank you so much for joining us today on 3CR.
Thank you
so much for having us. Adore you, James. Cheers.
Thanks, James.
3CR.
Did you know that 3CR first went to air in 1976? That's right, we're turning 50 this year.
Right from the start, we prioritized progressive voices, First Nations issues, local music, alternative perspectives, and truth-telling.
50 years on, it's clear that independent, local media continues to be vital, and that there's a strong need for media that shines a light on injustice and gives voice to a vision for a better world.
Are you a current subscriber? We really need you. Subscribe today and help us celebrate 50 years on air.
Go to 3cr.org.au or call 03 9419 8377.
That's right, 3CR celebrating 50 years this year. Pretty extraordinary.
In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ plus communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.